Welcome to the Full of Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 9:06 British Summer Time. Today is September 17th. Well, today was a day which had a plethora of economic releases, most of which were positive for the US economy. And stock markets in the US are closing just down marginally on the day. The Dow Jones is down 7, the S&P is down just over 3. That's well off the highs on the day because they did spend a good part of the day in positive territory. And with that positive territory early on the session, we saw positive closes right across Europe. And today was actually a very positive day in Asia, where the Nikkei was up over 1.5%. The Hang Seng pushed upwards to another incremental new high, as did the ASX in Australia. And we see that we've had very impressive gains for the majority of indices over the last couple of weeks, particularly since the beginning of September. And they are beginning to look a little bit overextended in the very short term. But there isn't anything in the way of downward dynamics, and today's Wall Street close is only weak in the context of today's action and in the context of what it's done in the last couple of weeks. It's really very steady action indeed. Downward dynamics would be needed to really start to question the persistence of this short-term advance in September, but it would need to start taking out the progression of higher reaction lows on the vast majority of these indices to really start to question the consistency of these advances, which many indices have had in place since March. We're also seeing that a number of the lagging markets, particularly those smaller markets in Eastern Europe or the Irish market, which were particularly badly hit by the drying up of liquidity and the credit crisis, are also beginning to play catch-up moves. And in the bond markets, today was a relatively firm day for the long-dated US Treasury, but it continues to range in the region of this 120 level and hasn't broken emphatically one way or the other in more than a month. The rest of the sovereign bonds, gilts were a little bit weaker in here today, as were the euro bunds. And in the commodity sector, with the dollar slightly firmer in here today, certainly we're seeing that while stock markets have become a little bit overextended to the upside, the dollar is just a little bit overextended to the downside. And that suggests that there is short-term potential for a little bit of a rally as the dollar index tests the 76th level, and that could put stock markets under a little bit of pressure. But just like we have the progression of higher lows in the stock markets, we have a progression of lower highs for the dollar versus a whole range of currencies, and there's something of a symbiosis here because the further the stock markets advance, the more investors that move will tend to pull into the market, and the greater need for, or the greater the impetus for leverage trading, which is an implied short position in the dollar if they're investing abroad. And of course, if the dollar is getting weaker, then that is also a further impetus to go and borrow some more, which puts more money into stock markets, and there is a symbiotic relationship where one can benefit from the other. But if that begins to break down, if we start to see that markets, for instance, begin to price in higher interest rates, or we see a larger type correction forming in stock markets, or a more significant rally in the dollar, then that symbiosis works in reverse. And that is the type of activity that we saw with the yen carry trade from 2003 all the way through to 2007, where yen carries were being invested. They performed extraordinarily well as long as the yen was weak. But the weakness in one tended to feed on the weakness of another when demand was satiated in short-term advances, and that led to fairly sharp reactions, which quickly found support, and you started to get the business as usual type activity, and the currency started to weaken once more. So, watching various currency pairs is going to be instructive in this type of environment because we continue to see that the dollar is getting weaker in a very consistent fashion, and that consistency is mirrored by the target destinations for these for this type of trade. And when we start to see that consistency breaking downwards, then it's likely to show up very quickly in the corresponding asset, whether that's going to be in the dollar or the stock markets first will be difficult to say, but once we do start to see consistency breaking down in one, it will show up very quickly in the other. And what we also see is that there are a number of stock markets are relatively well bid at this point. But gold is really only completing an 18-month consolidation, and while it's off its highs in here today, I think the high was up around $1,024, and it closed out the day just down marginally at 1,013. The reality is that it's holding this gain above the $1,000 level admirably, and the likelihood is that it is going to be able to sustain a move far and away above the current levels over the coming months. And that will also be worth watching from the point of view of the higher beta type precious metal investments such as silver and platinum and indeed the gold shares, which were all a little bit weaker in here today on the back of this slightly firmer dollar and a little bit weaker tone on Wall Street, but not to the such an extent that it would have frightened any of the bulls out of major long positions. And really, there's nothing in the way of downward dynamics there either. The industrial metal complex was a little bit firmer in here today, with nickel and zinc both in positive territory, and copper was down marginally on the day, having been as high as 295 cents. It closed out the day just down slightly at 290. And copper continues to range and has been doing so for much of the last month and has an incremental progression of higher reaction lows within the range and continues to look like that a break above the $3 level is more of a probability than a possibility. Of course, all of the upside potential that we see in so many asset classes, and particularly in the fuller money themes, would come under short-term pressure if we did see a larger rally in the dollar. But that is still only likely to be a relatively short to medium term corrective phase, which would unwind some of the overbought condition that's been built up in some of the better performing assets, and with a view to those finding support relatively early and ranging back up to their highs, and any larger type reaction, particularly in the better performing markets, is likely to be a relatively good buying opportunity. For the precious metals, particularly for gold, which hasn't rallied to any great extent and or certainly hasn't pushed upwards in the same sort of dynamic fashion that we've seen in some of the stock markets, particularly, a sustained move below $950 would really be needed before we could start to question the upside potential. And when we look at the dollar over the longer term, it is an ideal carry trade type currency. The only type of activity that would really call that into question is if inflation became a problem somewhat further down the line. And inflation certainly isn't a problem just yet, but we've been saying for a number of months that the place that inflation is likely to turn up first is going to be in asset prices, and particularly commodities. And while a number of the better performing commodities are a little bit overextended in the very short term, this still looks like a bull market in that asset class, and certainly looks like a bull market in the stock market. And that has looked the case since October for a number of the better performing assets. Nothing has happened since October to really question that hypothesis. We saw that leaders found support first, moved into base formations and broke upwards from those bases earlier than everything else. And even the laggards found support in October and really only made an incremental new low in March. And we'll often see with very big moves where there's a lot of participation that very consistent trends, both up or down, will lose consistency at their penultimate lows. And for the laggards, that was certainly the case with the October lows, where they mostly began to lose downward consistency from that point. And the March low then proved to be the ultimate low for this move. And we're in new bull market type activity and a new bull market right now. Over the medium to longer term, the yield curve has really quite an extreme spread at the moment, and we're very far away from an inverted type situation, which would suggest that we're a number of years away from the next type of recessionary type environment. And even when the yield curve does become inverted, the key, I think, will be more to remember that it was inverted a year later, rather than note the inversion and then promptly forget about it, because stock markets will probably continue to advance well after the yield curve becomes inverted. But we will likely be in the latter stages of this bull market by then. But today, we're in the early stages. And in the early stages of a bull market, what people generally tend to do is to do what they wish they'd done in the last market, bull market, or in the last cycle. And in the last cycle, what people wish they'd done is sell early. So what we can anticipate is that when this powerful and persistent and impressive advance moves into a more corrective, longer corrective type phase, that there will be a significant portion of long investors heading for the door because they'll be attempting to lock in profits. But any type of correction is likely to be more of a buying opportunity than a signal to get out of everything. And certainly the psychological temptation will be to sell everything up. But what we've seen already is that the better performing markets are likely to be testing their highs, and some of them already are, and moving on to successive new highs before this medium term to number of year long bull market comes to a close. And it would do well to remember that when we have our next larger correction, whereas at current levels, it is taken as a given. But when the bearish argument becomes a bit more emphatic following a larger type reaction, I think there will be a lot of pundits who will have forgotten the fact that this is still characterized as bull market type activity. And even in bull markets, we do have larger type corrections. I think with that, I will leave you for the evening, but wish all the best to all of you.